Today's reading is from 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 10, which says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the light that is in you and can be in us. We thank you that we can know your love and that we can know you, Lord. And we thank you for this Christmas time that's just passed, whether we've been able to spend that with family and friends or maybe by ourselves. We just thank you for this time remembering you coming to earth, Lord. And we pray for Jeff this morning as he speaks to us. We pray that we will have ears to hear what God is saying to us, that you will speak through Jeff clearly, that you'll fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you this morning. And I hope you've had a really happy Christmas, full of joy and happiness, even in these dark times. And I hope also that it hasn't been too chaotic for you. Not too chaotic. I know that Christmas can be quite chaotic, can't it? And especially Christmas morning, if you have young children. We had four young children, and they all had pillowcases full of presents on Christmas morning, not just stockings. And Mum and Dad, we had stockings too, and we all used to gather in the front room in order to open our presents together so that we'd all see each other's. It was great fun, but it was chaotic. You can imagine there was paper all over the place, all over the floor, the cardboard, the ribbons, the string, all sorts of things. Packed the room out with sort of coverings, if you like. And one particular year, our youngest got given an Action Man doll, which within 10 minutes he had lost in the chaos and confusion of Christmas morning. So we all delved into the rubbish to look for it. We went into the paper, went round the paper, over the paper. We went in the garden. Well, no one had been in the garden that morning, but there we are. We tried that. We went into the kitchen where Mum was trying to do the dinner. We went up the stairs. We couldn't find him anywhere, Action Man. After about 2 hours, we collapsed, exhausted, onto the sofa to watch some television. And as we looked towards the television, guess what? Yeah, you guessed it right. Action Man. There he was, under the television, right at the back by the skirting board, under one of the legs. And I'm sure he was laughing. I tell you this story because it reminds me so much of the happy days with the children, but also for this, I want to ask this question. How often have you been near to someone or something and never really seen it? How often have you been close to something and you've never really seen it? How many of us have walked around the house looking for our keys, only to find they're already in our hands all the time. Please say it's not just me. No, it's just me, isn't it? I know, no one else could be that dull. You may have looked at 1,000 rainbows, but how often have you really seen that glorious rainbow? You may have seen thousands of flowers in your lifetime and enjoyed the beauty, but never really seen the heart of the flower, that normal natural phenomenon, if you like, on earth, that beautiful thing. And you know, we can go to church all our life and never really see God. We can enjoy the singing, the hymns, the carols. We can enjoy the fellowship and the ambiance of the church with all its rituals. But sometimes we find it difficult to actually find God there. How terrible that sounds as I say it. Terrible. So what are we to do about it? Well, John, in his letter, in his first letter to the early church that we've got before us this morning, says we should walk in the light as he is in the light. We have to walk in the light. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? If you walk in the light, you're going to see better. Now, how do we do that? Well, I've got 3 points, you'll be surprised to know, to ponder this morning. And the first one is this. Learn to live in the mystery of faith. Learn to live in the mystery of faith. We can't know everything about our faith. We can know many things, all sorts of things. We need to learn and to grow in our knowledge and our understanding, of course. We need to do Bible study. We need to study theology. We need to look at these things. We do need to do that. But at the end of the day, we will never know everything. We need to learn to live in the mystery of stuff, especially our faith. How are you doing with that? It's difficult. In John, again, 1 John, the letter he wrote to the early church, he starts that letter in the same way as he starts his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, they heard him, we've seen him with our own eyes, we've looked at him, we've touched him with our hands, we now proclaim to you concerning the word of life. You see, John calls Jesus the word of life. He calls him that in his gospel. The word was with God. In the beginning was the word. He was with God. He was God. He wasn't just with him. He was God. He is God. John has seen the light. Not the flickering little candle light of Christmas in the stable at Bethlehem, so to speak. Not that vulnerable sort of flickering light, but the full blazing beacon of light that's flooding the world, that he could see as he walked with Jesus during those 3 years on earth. He could see Jesus just flooding the earth with his light and with his love, with his concern and his power and his healing. He sees him as an epiphany. How are you doing with this morning? Learn to live in the mystery. It's difficult. John almost says that it's too wonderful for words. He uses wonderful words, lots of words, but he almost says, look, Jesus is too wonderful for words. St. Paul said something similar to that in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, and chapter 9, verse 15, he says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable, Paul. This is Paul, the great Christian theologian. This is St. Paul, who has a real gift, doesn't he? Sharing the truth about Jesus and laying it all out for us to un- to understand in his letters, yet still says at the end of the day, after all those words, the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ himself, is indescribable. Our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Charles Wesley wrote that in one of his hymns, his carols. Incomprehensibly made man. We can't comprehend it. It's too wide and too high and too deep. We can know lots of stuff. Of course we can, and we should do. You see, John knew who Jesus was, and he tells us what he believes about Jesus. And we just need to walk in that. Learn to live in the mystery of faith. It would be like a light shining in that darkness. We walk by faith, not by sight. The second thing I want to share this morning is this. Believe in the history. Learn to live in the mystery, but also believe in the history. These stories in the scriptures are true. However strange they may seem to our modern ear, they are true. They are eyewitness accounts of historical events. They're not lies made up by unscrupulous men. They're but testimonies from people who are there, people we can trust. Mary was there, obviously. She would have shared what happened at Bethlehem. She would have shared it. Joseph was there. He would have spoke about it. The shepherds were there. They went back rejoicing and sharing all that they had seen and all that they had done. And the wise men, well, they would have said something about this. They would have shared this. This is eyewitness account, although it sounds amazing, these Christmas stories. They're not fantasies. They're not fairy tales. And I can believe that the maker of heaven and earth is quite capable of entering a virgin's womb and bringing birth to bear there, planting himself in that person and coming forth into the world as a baby and living as a man to fulfill the hope and the dreams of humankind. And I can believe that the God who created the universe is quite capable of sending a star to guide the wise men. No problem for God whatsoever. He moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Yes, he does. Mysterious ways. Yes, indeed. But these stories are true. True stories. Believe in the history of your faith, however unusual it may seem to you. He stilled the storm. John saw him raise the dead. John saw him feed the multitudes. John was there when he healed the sick and helped the lame to walk and the blind to see. John was there when he raised the dead to life again. Lazarus at the tomb. John was there. He saw it. He touched it. He felt it. And he was there also after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. He ate fish with Jesus on the beach. He was there. John knew. We can believe this. And then he writes it all down for us to understand that God came to earth in Christ Jesus, not just a good man, not just a kind man, not just a friendly man, with plenty of those sorts of men around, and women too, thank goodness. This was God himself come to earth. This was Jesus performing miracles to prove that he was God. These stories are not lies. They are truth. we need to believe in the history of our faith. And thirdly, I believe that if we do learn to live in the mystery and believe in the history, we will find that we rejoice in the reality of it all. That God is truly with us, not just then, but now too. You see, these stories are not only written in order that we might stand in amazement at what God did in the past, but that we might look forward in faith. These stories are not just about what God did then. It's about what he does now. I knew a story about a man who was raised as a child in the most darkest of circumstances. His family were criminals, and there was violence and darkness all around the house. And this man grew up in that atmosphere and became a violent man himself, a vicious man, a wicked man in lots of ways. He had a darkness within him. He used to abuse people. He used to bully folks. He was a big, strapping guy of a man. And he ended up in prison for GBH, grievous bodily harm. He was a horrible character in many ways. And he went to prison and he went into the cell and he met his cellmate there. And he used to bully this man in the cell. He brought a darkness into that place, which was already dark. He brought a darkness into every room he entered. But the chaplain of the prison would not give up on him. He came every day to see him, all the time, week after week, coming and saying, look, why don't you come down to the Bible class I'm running in the hall? Can you imagine what this man must have said? You know, but the chaplain never gave up. He came week after week after week. And in the end, this man decided, okay, he gave in. He would go to the Bible study, only because he'd been promised a cup of tea and a biscuit, you know. So he went to the Bible study, and it took about 3 or 4 months before suddenly God hit his heart in such a powerful way that it nearly knocked him off of the chair he was sitting on at the back of the hall. And he came back to his cell, and he spoke to the person he had in the cell with him, and the person said, what's happened to you? You know, he could see there was a difference. And the man said, I don't know. He said, well, what happened down at the Bible study? Something must have happened. He said, well, yes, something did happen. He said, I've just given my life to Christ. And the man in the cell said, well, what does that mean? And the bloke said, I don't know. I have no idea what that means. I just feel so different. I feel so cleansed, he said. I feel so empowered. I feel happy. And you know, this man, this violent, once violent man, went on to do theology at college. He ended up as a Methodist minister working out of the north of England, working in drug rehabilitation centres because he'd been a drug addict himself. But do you know what? Since the moment of his conversion to when he gave his life to Christ, he'd never had one drug-related incident in his life. No withdrawal symptoms at all. Now, I know enough about drug rehabilitation to know that does not happen. But it did. It did happen. God is with us. God is alive. In God is the light. And there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. Walking in the light requires us to repent, of course, of what we've been like and what we've done. But not many of us have a story like that, of course not, but we all are sinners. We all make mistakes. We all need to repent. We all need to turn and say, look, sorry, Lord, I want to be better than this. Help me, Lord. Help me. And God will. God will forgive you, and that's the greatest help you can get, to be renewed in the power of the Spirit through repentance and forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing. And I just want to encourage us this morning, if this message has meant anything to any one of you, particularly, to turn to God, to turn to him and ask him to forgive you for what you've been like, or for failing, or for doubting, for not walking in the light, but to walking in the darkness. Ask him to forgive. And he will. He will bring such a light to your path. He will uplift you and strengthen you and be with you all through this coming year. Has it been a while since you've seen him? In the chaos of life, in the confusion, the circumstances that you might have gone through, has it been a while? Have you been searching for him and not been able to find him? He's there. He is there. He is with us. He's Emmanuel. If your prayers are weak and your faith seems a bit shallow, then it's probably been a while since you've seen him. Turn to him. Turn to him as we sing our next song. As Mort leads us in more worship this morning, I just ask, why don't you respond to God? Ask him to be with you again in strength and power. Put your hand into the hand of God, who is the light of the world, and let him lead you into this new year, into this new day, this new dawning. That Christmas might not just be a past event that you're not sure about in all the confusion, but Christmas might be something you experience every single day of your life, because you walk with the Christ child. You walk with the man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. John said something like this in his gospel. He said, these things are written in order that you might believe, in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Learn to live in the mystery. Believe in the history. And rejoice in the reality that God is with us. Well, I'm done. That's the message. I hope it's been helpful. God bless you, everyone. I wish you a really happy new year. May the God of life and light shine on your pathway and bring you peace. Bye, everyone. God bless you. Thank you.